Greetings this morning from the McDowell congregation. It's a blessing to be here once again. I was just really pleased how well you forgave Brother Jay a minute ago. You really listened well, so.
Me too.
Appreciate it. This morning we're going to talk about charitable brotherhood relationships. What was true about forgiveness is also true about love. Harmony within the church needs to be a direct result of Christ within the hearts, or it won't last. And if there's a lot of I in the church, there's not going to be a lot of love in the church. It's a lot about one another and not about myself. We must be willing to put self to death on a daily basis. Now, we're building a church back in McDowell, a physical church building. And it's coming along. We've had it engineered to withstand the storms and the wind, the rain and the snow. Or at least I hope so. And every part that I see is fitly joined together. If you've recently built a house or are building a house, you can imagine with me all the things that go in to make a house function properly. You think about the foundation. You know, it's a real important place to start. You lay the foundation. You make sure that it has some solid grounding, the walls, the trusses, the wiring, the plumbing, the insulation, the plywood, the siding, and there's many other components all working together so that when you get into your house and you walk in the door and you flick on the light switch, that something actually happens. What if you had run all the wires to the house and you were ever so careful to connect them to all the right places and all the circuitry within the house was properly installed and inspected by the inspector, but you had forgot to connect the house to the source? What if you had done that? And what if that source of power was miles away, and that to connect to that source of power was going to cost as much as the house itself? How would you feel about that? You know, there are many people who are living their lives in this manner. There are many young people that I've talked to. They have a relatively nice house. They have a nice life. They're living, you know, they're trying to do what's right. They're trying to do the best they can, but they haven't connected to the source. And a lot of people mistakenly think that it's going to cost a lot of money to connect to the source. It's going to cost me a lot to connect to God. I'm going to have to give up a lot of things in order to connect. I'm here to tell you this morning that connection is free. Free of charge. He said salvation is free. It's a free gift from God. You can connect to the source. It's not because it's of no value. It's because you can't afford it. It's because it's of so much value that it cannot be afforded by whatever you could think of doing. Even giving your own life would not be enough to purchase your own salvation. There's only one way. We heard about it today in Sunday school. I am the way, the truth, and the life is what Jesus said to us. It's the only way. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, there is a catch. Once you've connected to the source, you've become the property of the source. And we talked a little bit about that last night. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men, brethren. Let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God." Does this mean that we no longer need to serve one another because we are now God's property? No. Does it mean we no longer need to submit to our boss or to those around us? No. It actually means that we'll become a better employee. After you've connected to the source, after you've connected to God, you actually become a much better employee. Because originally you were serving for the praise of man. You were serving for your own benefits. And now you're serving because of a deep love for God. That's how you should be serving God this morning. Another couple verses, Colossians 3. 3:22-24, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers," that's what we used to do, "but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Are you and I connected to the source this morning? That's my question for you. Are we as a body of Christ fitly joined together? Is there harmony within the Church of Christ this morning? Or when you walk into Christ's church in a figurative sense and you turn on the light, sure, the light turns on, but the heating and cooling system doesn't work then. That's my kind of wiring stuff. I've had some interesting things at the store that I've tried to wire, and I would turn on one light and something else would quit working after I got done wiring it. You know, maybe the wires were crossed. I had that happen. I had the wires crossed. I had them mixed up. Maybe that's unforgiveness. Maybe there's a short in the system. Maybe it's hate or simply lack of love. Or else when you hit one of the switches, it breaks the connections with the source entirely. Not exercising Christian encouragement. When the wiring has these issues, it's actually a major fire hazard. And within a church, there's a possibility that it could even lead to an explosion. And somehow, with all the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, we've become so lazy that we've quit trying to fix problems. We have fathers, and I've been one of them, that have become so disconnected from the source for one reason or another. And since families are an integral part of the structure in the body of Christ, and the husband and wife relationship is a type of Christ in the church, and when the source breaks down and the wiring is crossed and the husband is no longer fulfilling his role within the home, and he does not see or maybe does not care what's happening within the Church of Christ, it's just a matter of time before there's a big meltdown. If you have unforgiven sin in your life as a father, as a member of this church, it's like leaving the door of a church open right after you build it. What if we had left the church doors open and it was the middle of a blizzard, and depending on which way the wind blows, there might be a lot of snow in there the next day? That's like having sin in our life. It opens the door to Satan, and we don't really control how far it's going to take us. We don't know how much, where that sin's going to stop. If the wind's blowing wrong, that sin could lead to all sorts of disastrous consequences. COVID-19 is probably the very least of our worries in 2021. I think it's the very least of our worries. You know, it might reveal some attitudes of our hearts, and it might cause a few sparks to fly, but it's not where the root of the problem is. You know, we've had flaws in our wires for years. And instead of dealing with little issues, we've adjusted to them. We've made minor adjustments to deal with it. Just like that light switch. Oh, if I, during the day, turn on the light, my AC quits working, I'll open some windows, right? Just open some windows. And then at night, who needs the AC? And I don't need the light. And maybe it's connected to the heating system as well. So I'll turn off the lights and my heater will work. So we've learned to adjust. You know, there's deeper problems, the unforgiveness, the lack of love, and without these two, encouragement is not possible. It's very discouraging to go to a church where there's unforgiveness. A church where there's unforgiveness, there won't be a church where there's a lot of love happening. They need one another to function properly. Just imagine that love is the hot wire, and we're gonna use red to symbolize a hot wire. And let's imagine that forgiveness is the neutral wire. And let's think of the Word of God as the ground wire. If we're not properly grounded on the Word of God, when the tests come, when the sparks fly, and the short circuit occurs, the grounding takes the unstable current away from the main system. But if we're not grounded, that short circuit, those feelings, those attitudes, those things in the church will go right into the main system, and they'll become a much bigger problem within the church if we're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. If we haven't put our stakes down firm when these storms of life come, we're going to be easily swayed. If we're not grounded to the Word of God, maybe we're receiving our power from the wrong source. You ever seen that, where there's a wire that's feeding a line that's not supposed to be? Yeah. Sometimes we go to the wrong source for our power. Sometimes we go to Fox News for the truth. Right? Yeah. 2 Timothy 3:13. You can turn there. Second Timothy 3:13 to 17. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You know, some people tell me, oh, your parents faced the same problems you faced. Are you sure? The Bible says they're getting worse. Worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. Which do you believe? If you're studying your Bible and you're in God's Word on a daily basis and your heart is open to the divine truths, then you don't have to worry about being deceived. Because there's a lot of people come to me and like, well, Dave, you know, if it's that deceptive, how am I going to know? Get in the Word. Read the Word. Be open to the truth. Quit getting your information from alternative sources, from good books. Get in the Bible. If you're in the Bible and you're studying it, you're sold out to God, you're not going to be deceived. My mom sent me a quote. She said, if we spend all the time quoting smart men and good books, our religion will be founded on smart men and good books and not on God. As A.W. Tozer once quoted, no, just kidding. You know, these men have their place. And they, you know, they've shared a lot of wisdom with us, but we need to go to the true source. We need to be firmly grounded on God's Word. You know, we've done a pretty good job of keeping out the big things. I think our church has done a pretty good job at keeping out the big things. You know, they're knocking on the door. They're trying to push their way in through the cracks in the wall. But I was thinking about the internet. The internet has single-handedly brought or presented to us everything that for years and years we've tried so hard to avoid. Television, immorality, doesn't promote nonconformity, uncensored music. The world is our playground. You know, our forefathers thought the radio was bad. Now the internet provides uncensored comedy, uncensored talk, right at our children's fingertips, our young people's fingertips at times. The world loves violence and killing. You know, that's what makes a movie exciting, right? And so they've promoted that, sensuality, all these things, and it's in one convenient little bundle. And the devil came up to us and said, hey, here's something that you need for your business, and we bought into it, didn't we? And now we think we need it. We've become adjusted to it. We need this tool that we say it's a tool. And yet, so much of our time is spent using the internet for entertainment, for pleasure, for wasting time, and all in the disguise that it's for business. It started out harmless enough, didn't it? Hey, this is pretty cool. Look what my phone can do. I remember a guy telling me this, you know. Okay, Google, order me a pizza, or find the number for Pizza Hut, and it would pop up. Okay, Google, what's the closest church? It would tell them. And now you're going to have to check your phones, right? it started out just, oh, this is pretty convenient. The internet slowly started to wiggle loose that stake that we had driven in the ground of being in God's Word. That ground wire we had put in, the internet started to wiggle it loose. And it was just little things like, God hath not said that you have to give me your whole heart. God said, there's a lot of grace for, you know, those of you that don't want to go the whole way. God hath not said, I'm going to send you to hell if you do this or that. Look it up. Look it up on Google. You'll probably find something that says there is no hell, right? Google will tell you that. God hath not said. That sounds familiar to us, doesn't it? That's what Satan was saying to Eve in the garden the day man fell. But people have become so addicted to watching movies, videos, just random garbage, that the Bible has lost its interest to the young and old alike. It's amazing how little interest I find in people that in the Word of God when they've got involved in watching videos on YouTube. I did a little survey with people, and it's amazing. They're like, yeah, the Bible's not that interesting anymore. I have a lot of entertainment at my fingertips. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what happens when I see Satan prevailing against the church? Is it no longer God's church? Or are we just needed to revive the vision? I've seen dads who are into pornography, mothers who are addicted to social media, youth, who knows what they're into. Do your parents know what your youth are into? As followers of Christ, we've blindly embraced it, and we need to wake up to the errors of our way. You know, we've held pretty firmly to nonconformity for the last 10 years or so, and it's slowly slipping away. You know, the internet and all, even if it wasn't bad stuff, it's presenting alternative lifestyles. It's presenting things that, you know, don't look that bad. It's numbing us to what's going on in the world around us. It's deceiving us slowly. You know, we've done a lot of good things, and we've done them well. We've fed the poor. We've clothed the orphans. We've visited the sick. We've went into prisons and ministered to people there. We've given of our time and our money to help with the work of the church. And the Bible says, without love, it profits us nothing. So what does a loving brotherhood relationship even look like? This morning it says brotherhood. We're going to refer to some both brothers and sisters. And since we have the term brotherhood here, we're going to assume at some point, and hopefully currently, but at the very least at some point, you were safely, correctly, and securely connected to the source of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no routing the wires around Jesus directly to the Father. And I think Jesus is what an electrician would call a transformer. He's taken the power from God and he's transformed it, and we can use it in our lives. He's made it a usable energy. He has given us direct power from the Father. There's no chance of the grid getting overloaded because his power is without limits. We need to be Christians who have experienced complete transformation of our lives and not simply confirmation. Without transformation, confirmation doesn't mean a whole lot. Tear down the idols, dethrone self, and let go of the influences of the world in your life. Now, I'm not an electrician. I think I've been fairly plain on that. And some of my illustrations go over my own head. And so if I tell you something false this morning as far as electricity is concerned, I do apologize. Don't try this at home. Isn't that a disclaimer? I got a light here. I don't know if you'll be able to see it or not. See, the front benches are still empty. You know, we're going to look at Jesus as a source of power. And this battery is a very poor representation of the source of power that we can tap into. but for lack of a bigger battery and space in my pockets, we're going with a 9-volt. Now, there are several common things about electricity that are good to know. Electricity in a properly wired circuit always returns to its source. Is that true? Electricity in a properly wired circuit always returns to its source. So in order for it to work, in order for the light to shine, the electricity has to be going in a circle. It has to be returning to the source in order to send that electricity through the light. How does that look when we think of it as God's love? We have John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." The source is all-powerful, limitless, and perfect. And then in John 13:34-35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that if you love one another as I have loved you, that you also..." No. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." And I wondered, how is this a new commandment? In Leviticus 19:18, it says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So it was an old commandment. But the new commandment went a little further. It didn't say just love thy neighbor as thyself. The new commandment says, love your neighbor as Jesus loved you. That's a whole nother level. Jesus loved you so much he gave you his life. Is that how you love your brothers and sisters in the church? You're willing to give your life for them? How do you tell if you're a child of God? By how much you love your brothers and sisters, right? My love for my brother and sister in the church isn't controlled by the type of person they are. If it was, we'd have a struggling church, right? Because my personality might not mesh with Jay's personality. Doesn't mean I don't need to love him. Doesn't mean he shouldn't love me. We love people that have very vastly different personalities. It's not because we just like that person. It's because of Christ's love in our heart. The love or the power flowing down from God is never restricted until it reaches where man starts to restrict it. So there's limitless power flowing down. The only time it becomes restricted is when we allow it to become restricted. So I'm assuming red's hot, and the plus side on the battery is the power going down, right? That's what I'm assuming. So I'm going to put the red wire on the hot side. See any light? Why not? There's power, right? There's power in my battery, and it's flowing down to the light. But the light's still darkness, right? Isn't that weird? You know, the story of the rich young man in Mark 10 illustrates a good point. It says, Jesus, Mark 10, verse 21, says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. But did the rich young man go away happy? But Jesus still loved him. So, in what the world says, Jesus loves me, and so I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus loves me. Well, why didn't the rich young man go away happy? Because Jesus loved him. It says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. So there wasn't any lack of love flowing down. It was there. It was present. But there needed to be a connection back up. There needed to be a giving up. He said, one thing thou lackest, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. And this young man went away sorrowful because that meant a lot to him. He didn't want to sell everything he had. Romans 5:8 clearly states that God commendeth his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, living in darkness, he gave us that light, or he sent down that power. Each one of us is given the choice what we'll do with this love that is extended to us. We can reject it and remain in darkness, or we can accept it and return the love to the one who gave it to us in the first place. Let's turn to 1 John. First John chapter 4, verse starting at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God.
And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest that the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell with in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know and believe that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If we love him, because we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, in whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and we keep his commandments. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. All these things go in a circle. Why is that? It's because it completes the circuit. It's because going in a complete circle is what happens, has to happen with God's love in our life in order for our light to shine. We'll put the positive on, and then we return God's love, and our light shines. Right? So the circle's complete. How do we know that we love God? If we love our brothers. How do we know if we love our brothers and love God? If we keep his commandments. And it just keeps on going in circles, and this is how we know. You know, we have multimeters in electricity, and I don't know how to use them very well, but they tell us some things, and they can tell you a lot of things if you know how to use them. But there's not something like, there's not a tester that you can stick on your brother and find out how much love they have in them, right? There's not this little tool that, okay, Randall, we're going to find out how much love you have. Oh, yeah, so, you know, that it doesn't work that way. But if I understand it correctly, there's an ohms tester on a multimeter, right? And ohms is testing for resistance. So if there's probably good forms of resistance where like it turns the motor, actually does something. But if you're just wanting power to flow freely, and that's how we want it to flow within the church. We want love to flow freely amongst the brothers and sisters in the church. And we don't want a lot of resistance. So when you're measuring from ohms, if I understand it correctly, you want the least level of resistance. You want a low number on the ohms meter, because that means there's not a lot of resistance. And so there's the wire coming down from God. That wire is big enough to carry all the power, all the love we need. And what? How about the wire that's flowing from me to Jay? And then from Jay to Nathan, and Nathan to Mel, and then back? How are those wires doing? Are those wires big enough to carry the love that we're extending to our brothers and sisters in the church? Or have they been restricted by a little bit of pride? And there's a kink in the wire. There's a little bit of a short. There's some things that are resisting the love that should be flowing through the brotherhood. And so instead of like a constant smooth light, you know, you get it like it's, you know, your light's shining, but it's kind of blinking. And the world's wondering what's going on. But and your brothers and sisters, you know, we're trying to work together through this. But if there's resistance and if there's stuff in our life that needs to be cleaned out, our lights aren't going to be shining a pure light to the world around us. You know, with an electrician, I think they're pretty similar to computer technicians. You know, you call an electrician and you say, well, I have a problem in my house.
and you know the light's not coming on. Probably the first thing he says is, "Did you check the breaker?" Right? He's like, "Well, is the breaker flip?" I don't know. Where do you find that thing? No. There's often a common problem that has occurred over and over again, so they know right where to send you. With a computer technician, you know, you can do an experiment. I think it would probably work. Go ahead and, you know, call Best Buy tomorrow and say, I was just curious. My modem isn't really working that great. My computer's slow, and it's not connecting to the internet properly. And 9 times out of 10, he's going to say something like, "Well, have you unplugged it and let it sit for 10 seconds? Like, that's always their first response when you call about a modem. Like, "Well, have you unplugged it and let it sit for 10 seconds? "Well, no, that seems too simple." And normally, if you do that, it starts working again. So, you know, sometimes it's a picnic, right? Have you heard the term picnic? Problem in chair, not in computer. So, often in our Christian life, all it is a picnic. You know, we're looking for problems amongst our brothers and sisters, and here, where we should be looking for the main problem is in the mirror. You know, we think, "Oh, the short must be over there, right? Because I can't get along with that brother." And here the problem's right here in my heart. And it's so often that way. You know, when we think about the issue, whatever it is that's causing a lack of love, if the terms such as "me," "mine," "I," "myself" come up over and over again, I think we can know where the problem is. Not everyone has been given the gift of discernment. Fortunately for people like myself, this is an area we can grow in. So we can learn to be more discerning, right? It's something that we can exercise. Discernment and being judgmental are often lumped into the same category, right? So you could have a discerning brother that's been accused of being judgmental. And there's just small key differences, but they're important differences. So we'll look at both of them. You know, we have a lot of fathers here today. And there's probably been some of you who are doing well. They're leading out in the home, and they're just really doing their very best to raise a good Christian family. And they've been knocked down, picked apart, and spit back out for being judgmental. And they've been accused of, well, let me give you an example. So let's say a father sees a danger in an upcoming youth event. It's a church camping. And the father sees some danger involved in the church camping. And this father doesn't want to ruin it for everyone. So he sends his children to camping. But he's made an agreement that I'm going to pick you up at 10 o'clock tonight, and you're going to sleep at home, and then I'll bring you back the next day. And then this dad gets all this flack for, "Well, you're just, you know, overly worried, you don't trust our children," and he gets berated for, you know, all these things, when all he was trying to do was be a good dad. And yet, these attitudes that are extended in that way are picked up by the youth, and then when the youth get back, they're like, "Ah, you're just a goody-goody." You know, you're just, your dad doesn't trust you. You know, youth are pretty brutal, I found out. Like, they don't think through the whole process. You know, they're hard on each other when they shouldn't be. If you have fathers and mothers here this morning that care about their youth, support them. Get behind them. Encourage them. Tell them to, "I love what you're doing. You know, I'm glad that you care about the things that are going on. Because we're going to need each other. We need each other right now. We need to support each other and love each other." And this is going to bring encouragement, which we will get into tonight. So let me go back briefly to the difference between discernment and being judgmental. Discernment is the ability to recognize the common denominator. I'll give you another short example. There's a lady in our community, and she come into the store, and she's like, "Dave, I have the most awful neighbors. This neighbor's cows get in my field. This neighbor doesn't keep up his fence. That neighbor drove over my rabbit." You know, Every neighbor had done something wrong. It was just like she could not get along with any of the neighbors. And the funny thing was, these were my neighbors too. And I wasn't having the same issues. I'm like, I'm not seeing it, you know. And yet that lady was a little bit hard to get along with. And just through process of elimination, it occurred to me that maybe the problem wasn't all the neighbors, you know. That's discernment, recognizing the common denominator. Discernment tells where the problem lies, but being judgmental states why the problem is there. You see the difference? So discernment says, well, I recognize there's a problem. Judgmentalism says, you're the problem. Or because you've done this and this, that's the problem. And discernment asks questions. Judgmentalism makes statements. Why doesn't so-and-so come to Wednesday evening prayer meeting? Well, that can be an honest question from a caring brother and sister. Or if it's stated, so-and-so is not coming to Wednesday night because they love money. Being a little judgmental, right? So it could be the truth. But are we going to go asking questions? Are we going to go making statements? It makes all the difference in the world. You know, there's a lot of truths, but how we come across makes it much easier to work with brothers or much harder, depending on how we approach the situation. Matthew 7. There's some good verses there in Matthew 7, 1 to 5. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. People falsely assume with these verses that they're not allowed an opinion. They're not allowed to say anything. They need to be gracious and merciful, even for the most heinous sin, because, you know, well, if they don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive them. Yeah, we need to forgive, but we can't overlook sin just on the fact of, well, I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to judge. That's not what is meant by these verses. The Bible verse doesn't say, don't ever pull out that little speck that is in your brother's eye. It doesn't say that at all. It says, first deal with your own problems, though. Don't let your vision be real blurred when you go to help another brother. First, get your own heart right. First, make it so that you don't want to go and talk to your brother. That's my general rule of thumb. If I want to go talk to someone, I try really hard not to go talk to them, because I'm normally going in the wrong manner. If I just can't wait to go set a brother straight, it's not going to come across. But once I get like to the point where I'm like, I'm not going to talk to him. I can't talk to him. Then I'm like, okay, now I might be able to go talk to him. And that's the attitude we need to go in. It's a pretty sensitive surgery to get a little speck out of someone's eye, right? The eye is a sensitive part. And once that speck is pulled out, doesn't mean the irritation immediately leaves, right? So you could deal with whatever the issue was, and there's going to be some lasting irritation too. And that's where we need much love for one another. So if a brother or sister has had enough love and enough courage to come and talk to you about something, then why don't we receive that, right? Because that often takes a little bit of something to actually present a problem to someone and say, you know, why weren't you here Wednesday night? What was your reason? You know, did you have something better going? 1 Corinthians, well, before I get there, there's an old saying, love isn't love until you give it away. And that's a true saying. Love isn't love until you give it away. If you keep it, it's just selfishness, right? If you're just receiving a lot of love and it's not going anywhere, that's pride and selfishness. We need to extend God's love to others. 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked,
thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Sometimes when we want to look at what love is, we should look at what love is not. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't look at our brother's nice house or new truck and think, well, I'm just going to run him down because actually I would like that new truck, but I can't afford it. Love doesn't think that way. It's not envious. Running oneself down, running someone else down to make myself look good, that's not love. But sometimes we try it. You know, we can have concerns about how much money our brother spends on toys. But when the concern comes out behind their back to other people in the church, that's not love, right? We need to go to the source. If we have a concern, go to the source. Don't talk to everyone else in the church about your concern about Brother Nathan, but never go to Brother Nathan. That's not how love works. Love goes to Brother Nathan and says, I have this concern. And if it's a scriptural, spiritual concern, something he's violating scripture on, and Nathan doesn't listen to you, then go get another brother and come visit Nathan. Right? That's how it works. That's not the easy way of doing it. The easy way is saying, I'm going to get with all the other brothers, and I'm going to tell what I don't like about this brother, but I don't have enough courage to go talk to him directly. That's not love. Love is not proud. Love doesn't think of a lot of oneself. This makes a brother and sister who have love in their heart approachable and able to take admonishment. You know, pride is one of the biggest things that militates against good brotherhood relationships. Pride is probably one of the hardest things we deal with, and that is why God hates pride. It's on the top list of things God hates. Pride finds it hard to say, I'm sorry. Pride finds it hard to forgive. Pride finds it hard to admit wrong. Pride finds it hard to give in. Pride finds it hard to build up, for others to have it better, for others to succeed, for others to prosper, for others to go first, for others to be loved. Pride wants all that for myself. True love stays in its proper place. It respects authority. It respects boundaries. It behaves itself in a proper manner. True love looks out for the good of others. It looks out for their feelings and their emotions. It is not looking to satisfy itself, but to see others find success. Love is not easily made angry. Love is not stirred up. Love is level-headed. Thinks through the situations, sees the best in others. You know, the word easily there, it didn't appear in the original. I don't know that love is ever angry. Do you think love's angry? It may. No, I don't think love reacts in anger ever. It actually goes a step further than that. When a person with the love of God in their heart, it says they think no evil. How many times have you not retaliated, but you've thought a lot of evil? That's a high calling there, to think no evil. When love is provoked, it assumes that the offense was not that person's intention. Right? They assume their brother and sister didn't even realize how it sounded. They assume that when a brother admonishes him, that he did it with the best intentions in mind. That's what love does. When a brother comes and talks to us, we assume that they did it out of a heart of genuine love and care for us. That's how love looks at it. When they took the time and effort to deal with that speck in our eye, that little area in our life, that they did it with love and care for our soul. You know, it seems in our present day that this society, we've almost lost all faith in humanity. We don't know where truth is. We don't know where to find truth. And so we're quick to attribute any wrong we suffer as if it was intentional and a carefully orchestrated attack on our very person. And we've taken it as far as to think that when someone does something positive, we assume they did it with misguided motives. You know, they love me, they gave me a casserole,
but they probably think I can't take care of my family. You know, is that how love looks at things? Love assumes the best, thinks no evil. That's a challenge. Turn with me to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God bless you guys.